Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, for our next guest, please welcome from Huntington Beach, California. Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
War Wrestling Authority Radio with your host, Chaotic Katie, the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane, and Sadistic Sean David. Lock and load, wrestling fans. It's time for War!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another loaded edition of Wrestling Authority Radio right here on the Evolution Radio Network, a proud presentation of Rampage Productions. We are live and exclusively live on Blog Talk Radio. My name is Sadistic Sean David, and I am joined by my lovely warrior of a co-host, because the other one's tardy again.
Oh.
He is trying to get in.
Okay, well, he's trying to get in. I'm here. I'm here. Hi. You know me. Chaotic Katie. The reason why the show is not a bag of dicks.
Let's tell everybody what we're going to be doing tonight. Tonight we will be joined. Well, Katie, you know, it's been a long time since you and I were on a podcast, and we were at one point in the Wrestler Unstoppable universe. We were a part of an asylum. Do you remember those days?
Yeah, I remember them. Choose not to, but yeah, okay, I'll remember them.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Well, tonight we're going back to the asylum, except this time we are going to Asylum Wrestling in Pennsylvania. We will be joined by Eric Shea. And they're going to be talking about a big event this weekend in Morrisdale, Pennsylvania. It's the Snake Pit Slugfest.
Mm.
We'll be talking to Eric in just a few minutes.
Good.
About that. We are
so
slated to be...
Are they here? They will be.
Okay. We are slated to be joined by your Asylum Wrestling heavyweight champion, El Gigantor, the leader of the coalition, the undeniable POS. You know, I wish I would have saved that tagline for myself in my days of managing. The undeniable POS, Rob Myers, and our main event, our main event of the evening, will be joined by Mad Max Morrison, who is a good friend of former guest of this program, Damian Wayne. And Max and I were trading stories earlier today about the late Tracy Smothers. So we'll be talking to Max Morrison later on this evening, and we are going to wait for Stan. While we do that, I am, Katie, I'm going to have to do another little song break because I am going to have to walk him through how to get in because this is becoming an ongoing problem. What I'm going to do with you is I want you to welcome Eric to the program, kind of let him know what's going on while I get this song cued, and we'll go from there. We'll get Finn in, and we'll get everything started here.
Okay.
Folks, don't go anywhere. We will be right back with more of Wrestling Authority Radio right here on the Evolution Radio Network.
I feel so good, I feel so numb, yeah! Everybody's slipping, everybody's alive.
ladies and gentlemen, and we are back. We are now live with Wrestling Authority Radio here on the
you're
Evolution Radio Network, and we are joined by our other co-host, and right now we are going to go to the owner of Asylum Wrestling out of Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program at this time, Eric J.
I already did that.
What's up? How's everybody doing out there?
Eric, will you tell them that we had things going and we were doing just fine with those? Don't
oh, man, we were smooth sailing. We were like, it was going nice.
It was going nice, and then all of a sudden interrupts. Big interruption. I was like, you're a dick.
Pardon my interruption. So now we have with us our third and final co-host of the evening, who is Tardy. Katie, I will load this up for you, because if I don't, you're gonna do this to me. So I've got to do this to him for being Tardy here tonight.
Oh, do it.
I got my computer hard drive fixed in time.
How'd that feel?
Oh, it didn't, you know, I kind of like it. Is that wrong?
He is the Sultan of Slither Sin. Tonight is Wrestling Authority Radio. We are joined by the stars of Asylum Wrestling out of Pennsylvania to promote their upcoming event this weekend, Morrisdale, Pennsylvania, Snake Pit Slugfest. Love the name of the event. This would have been up Sin Valley. And Eric, talk to us about Asylum Pro Wrestling, how long you guys have been around, and
We've been around for about 3 years. We started right before COVID hit and everything. We've only canceled one show because of COVID, and after that, they opened us back up at, like, you know, 0.25%, and we've just run through it and haven't stopped, man. We've put on shows throughout the pandemic, and, you know, we've grown exponentially, actually, after everything opened up. Like, everything started going a lot smoother for us. We're a newer fed, but we're fun. We're a lot of fun. That's kind of our focus is, you know, we say we're a hardcore interactive wrestling experience. I make sure my guys get the crowd involved. And we have a hell of a time, man. They tear it up. I have some of the best guys, you know, just to name a few, Riot City, you've seen them, God, all over the East Coast taking pretty much every title that they go to. They're taking a title somewhere. Nick Ficken and Ron Holiday, those two, they've been really, really a big force in Asylum Pro Wrestling and helped me out a lot. Brian Caden Smith out from New York. So it's like we're not local, as in like all of our guys are local, but my core group, we're local. But my guys that come in, man, we got guys that come in from Texas and fly in from Texas, and it got a good mix of guys. There's no shortage of talent, that's for sure.
Good.
Yes. Sin is actually who trained me. I've been doing this 20 years. I just celebrated my 20th year back in April. Sin
Congrats.
Just came back. Finn just came back to the ring. I had to pull into the depths of hell to pull Finn back out and get him back into the ring. And he is still your reigning SOA. I don't know what the hell the name of the title was, but he's still the champion.
SOA Pop. SOA
yes,
Pop,
the
SOA I believe.
Pop.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I'm the current SOA Pop champion, I guess.
But we come from the state of Illinois, Eric, and Finn was taught by a guy, just to give you some history on Illinois, because we're talking about two different regions of the country here. Up until 2001, Illinois was a regulated state. What that meant is if you weren't licensed by the state of Illinois to run events and you got caught, you were in a shit ton of trouble.
Yes, sir. We are regulated to stay here in Pennsylvania. You must be licensed, bonded, insured. It is ridiculous. The rules here in Pennsylvania are very strict. The hardcore can only go so far because there is no blood in Pennsylvania. And
oh,
this would be rough.
No,
if you get opened up, you got to take it home. It kind of sucks. Yes, yes. If you get open up,
yeah, it's like a first blood. man.
Well, but here's the thing. We've had companies, and this is no discredit to a Paul Heyman, but ECW, Combat Zone Wrestling, a bunch of these hardcore deathmatch companies that have ruined it for everybody else are the reasons that sanctions in a state like Pennsylvania are the way they are. Now, Illinois is a non-regulated state now. They have been since 2001, and that comes with
the
a whole other
West.
Set of... that's just what I was going to say. It comes with a new whirlwind of problems because now there is, you know, prime example is wrestler A goes and gets trained by Sin for about 6 months. He gets his feelings hurt or gets put in the ring for the first time with a veteran that's going to stretch him a little bit, make sure that the kid wants it. And the kid gets upset and wants to go run his own promotion. So that gets done. And now we've got that kid training other people not the right way.
And then
something that's relegated to you guys, even though that it's very strict down here. Being a trainer down here, you don't have to have any credentials for. It's kind of crazy being, you know, regulated. You would figure that, you know, you would have to have a trainer certificate or something, but you don't. So that's exactly what's going on. And, guys, you would not believe. I am literally – I just walked up. We're at the venue, and I literally – I'm walking. There's deer in the yard because we also can't. All the wrestlers, you know, they bring their tents. They set up. That way they ain't got to drive home. And we all set up campground and – Yeah, it's a pretty good deal, man. We're a big family, you know what I'm saying?
I entirely do.
You know, and the thing about it is this. A lot of people don't realize, you know, a lot of fans, and this is everywhere, think that a wrestling ring just appears and you know, there is a common misconception. Yeah, there's a common misconception the amount of work that goes into not only planning an event, but executing an event and executing an event well.
We put out 6,000 flyers door to door. We have a flyer team. We have our sponsors on the back of the flyer. We go to the pizza shop. One of the pizza shops sponsors us locally, and they have about 500 boxes that they go through every week, and they allow us to flyer every one of their pizza boxes. You know, we try to take whatever we can. We just did the parade in Houtsdale, handed another 1,000 flyers out and threw candy out for a parade. Anytime the public can see their face.
Yeah, that's the way it was early on in Illinois, too. And even when I ran the company I owned, Wicked Wrestling Alliance, we would put flyers on pizzas, too. We had... three different pizza companies that we worked with in the area, a little bit apart from each other, that they would put mini flyers on the pizza boxes. It was really fantastic.
Yeah, dude, the community helping out, it makes it not so much on you. We get a lot of volunteers to help out, but mainly our trainees every weekend, you know, they do two a days and they flyer. They really bust their ass, you know. They talk about paying dues. Well, the guys from Asylum definitely know how to tear down a ring, set up a ring, put up chairs. That's, you know, we teach the right way, the old school way.
Yeah, I was actually the guy who trained me, the in-ring trainer for me, was trained by Boogie Woogie Man Jimmy Valiant. So
that's awesome. He's a great guy.
So, yeah, he is, isn't he? You've met him? He's awesome.
Yes, sir. I have met him multiple times. I just did a show in Elkins, West Virginia with him. We were across the table from him merch-wise. He was on one side, I was on the other, and we had fun all night. He's a real good dude.
Oh, he's great in the ring, too. He knows how to entertain a crowd. He used to. Not entertain.
Still can.
Yeah, without doing any moves. Probably still can. I remember when we were watching him, man. You know, there when we had him when he was older, he was getting stuff over with. He was just amazing.
He's a good time.
And a wealth of knowledge, too.
Yes. Finn, were you with Powerhouse when Tim brought in Funk for?
Yes.
I know there was
Funk's
a couple
wife
times.
Was awesome. Awesome. His wife and I get along so good. it's weird.
I was going to say, because I know there was one that Tim did back in the day that I was not old enough to go to because there was some kind of barbed wire match, and I think that was the only time he put an age restriction on the show of like 12, and Talon's like, well, guess you're not going to that show, but I want to go meet Terry Funk. Like, I don't care. I don't want to see any other wrestler. I want to see Funk. He's like, how do you even know who Terry Funk is? Because you have tapes.
How do I know who Funk is?
Because he had tapes.
Well, it was before Funk had been on ECW. We brought him in. And then it was more like, you know, the older fans knew, you know what I mean? The NWA fans and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
But, like, you know, current, like, WWE, you know, WCW, and, like, ECW fans didn't even know who he was until ECW brought him
in.
Oh,
my God.
You know, it's there was just, like, there was this gap, a little bit of a gap, I think. You know what I mean?
You think?
Yeah. But, oh, man. I mean, Tim was so excited to bring him in. Him and the Bushwhackers, we were super excited to bring in around the same period. But awesome, guys. I'm glad, by the way, I'm happy the Bushwhackers made the Hall of Fame. They were class act when they were on the indie circuit as well.
Yeah, definitely deserved.
Yes, I agree.
Now, Eric, you were talking about the whole blood rule. And the one thing that I learned, and I had to take this lesson from Sir Mo promoting out of Texas, was actually going to come up here and do some stuff with me at one point. We just couldn't make the figures work. Excuse me. But we had him on here one night, and he sat there, and we laid out this angle. It was our former co-host Steve Kane that passed away a couple years ago. It was a referee for many years and was my booker.
Condolences.
Sir Mo pointed out to me and Katie and Sin was not a part of our podcast at this time, but I'm going to try to go back and find that archive for him. He explained it. He says, okay, you think you need to do this angle and have this angle lead to blood. What happens if we have this angle lead in a fireball? It's going to get the same reaction, no blood. And I was like, but you're not supposed to be able to do that. And he's like, yes, you are, because we've gotten away from the concept of back to basics. Do something that will get the same reaction blood will do without asking the guys to kill themselves and still get
funny
that same
story.
Blood reaction. Go ahead.
But I do want to, I did just want to make one quick comment. Don't say you're a wizard after you do the fireball.
Well, about a year ago, I used to breathe fire, and I came out and I did my fire thing, and the fans kicked on, and caught myself on fire for 30 seconds in front of a live crowd. Ooh. They wound up life flighting me from West Virginia to Pennsylvania. I burned 98% of my face, 92% of my face, and I get a letter from the PA commission telling me I'm not allowed to breathe fire anymore. So fire me, I guess. Yeah, fire for me. It's not something I'm doing, you know.
So what you have to do then, sir, is sing the song. Please. You did start the fire.
Oh my God, shut up.
Oh, I definitely started the fire, my friend. It was kind of crazy for a minute. I wound up since you know my face was all burnt up. I went into a mask for a bit. And, you know, I recovered while still wrestling. I think I was only gone 2 weeks. But anybody that does this, no, it's like the mafia. You can't get out. If it's in your blood, it's in your blood. You do it on every weekend that you can. If you get a booking, you show up.
Yeah, I fractured my ankle in, like, a matter of, like, 4 or 5 days later. I was in the ring with George the Animal Steel. I was like, not missing that.
And I bet you, Even though, you know, it might have hurt a little bit, I bet you were not regretting doing what you did.
No.
Not a minute, were you?
No, not until I took my boots off and gotten back and realized I was going to be sidelined for a couple months because I really messed up my ankle.
I guarantee you if you were there right now, you'd probably do it again, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Fractured ankle and muscle. No question.
It's that wrestler thing, man. You can't get out. Don't get me wrong, though. I wouldn't trade it for the world. I've been doing this for a while now. I think I'm on my, like, 20, God, I'm old. I think 20, 21 years. Overall, I've been doing this for a minute.
So you started pretty close to when I started, not too far away.
No, sir. 2001 or 2002.
Let's see. It's my 25th
anniversary. I started up at MCW and then went to Stro and Van Hammer and got trained through them. That's where I came up.
Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, good guys, real good guys.
It's kind of funny how, even living so far apart, how some of us indie guys know the same guys. You know what I mean?
Dude, because we don't stay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I lived up in Hello?
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 Did he get DC?
You know, it was before I had
kids.
There
you were.
Yeah. I mean, and that's just it. Some of us get in this business and life will drag you away, but in many instances, you will get drawn right back into the business itself.
Yeah, it has a way of grabbing you back, man. It definitely does. And, yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons why it's really hard for a young guy. Right now, like a fresh guy that's just out of training to get anywhere. It's hard to get footage, especially when we started, you know, because there's no other companies running. I think we were licensed number 5 out of, you know, there's only 35 that were issued that year. And the first year we got it, we were like number 112, you know, and then COVID hit, we were like number 5. So there wasn't a lot going on. We were one of the only places up and running, and we just started growing. Yeah, we put up we've got two light rigs. We've got the NXT fog cannons, 100-pound tank. We got a Titantron, lasers. You know, I tried to go big. You know what I'm saying? I want what no other company has. We have one of the biggest setups in the indie company because I want those guys when they come out. I feel like it's all about the start of the show. From your entrance, if you don't feel it in your chest, if you don't see the lasers, it's not effective. But, you feel that thump in your chest, the lasers kick on, the fog cannon blows your hair back. You're like, oh, shit, I'm in for something. Welcome to the asylum.
That sounds awesome. A hardcore company that cares about more than just the hardcore part of it.
There's so much more than the hardcore. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a good spot for hardcore. Like, our crowd, they're bloodthirsty, and I'm sad I can't give it to them. But, you know, we get as close as we can. We draw that line real close and get as close as we can, you know, and while having a good time, because that's the whole thing. I wasn't having a good time for a minute, you know what I'm saying? So it seemed like it was becoming too much of a job. And I don't know, like, now I'm not worried about my bookings. I'm more worried about, you know, my young guys and them coming up. And if they're not on a show, I don't go to a show. If they're on a show, I'll go. You know what I'm saying? I'll go and wrestle. But anymore, I've been doing this so long that I've kind of done my thing. I'm getting off from watching, you know, all my guys do their thing and elevate themselves. That's what Asylum is about. It's about being able to get, you know, footage to be able to go to the next level.
Exactly. That's so important. Something people overlook far too much. Getting the word out, making sure those guys get seen. I remember I had a last title run down south here in Illinois, and I begged the promoter. I'm like, put me in there with some young guys. You know, let's see what they can do in a title match and just really try to get them over.
Yeah, dude. I've I've been wrestling my students the last, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 months, and I'm not sad at all. I'm watching these kids, man, and they're growing so fast. You know, 3 months ago, some of these guys wouldn't even have been in the ring, you know what I'm saying? And now they're holding matches on their own, and it's like, man, it gives you a good feeling. It makes you feel like you're doing something right.
Yep, it sure does.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about this weekend's event. It's a big one. Morrisdale, Pennsylvania, the Snake Pit Slugfest. This would be right up Sin Valley as the Sultan of Slither.
Yeah. I wear snake eyes. I'm a whole snake guy. So.
Well, we've got a foot and a half trophy. We're doing the Snake Pit Slug Fest. Every member of Asylum and, you know, basically anybody that's ever been a part of Asylum, and we've had some people through our doors. I'm inviting everybody out, and whoever wins it at the end, they've got a foot and a half trophy that says Asylum Snake Pit Slug Fest winner 2022. We're going to do it every year. It's kind of like a camping festival type event. We ran out the place Thursday to Sunday, and, you know, it's camping and wrestling. All the guys stay, and it's a pretty big party. We've got seven matches on the card. We're going to start out with the Snake Pit Slug Fest. Introduce everybody at once. You're going to see a little bit of everything. We've got three title matches on the card that night. The Anyweight title is up for grabs. One of my students by the name of Uggy the Caveman, me and him are going to be going at it. This is a best of three series. And the title can change hands during the best of three. I've got the first one up. I trained him. Come on now. He's going to have a run for his money. He thinks he's going to go over. It ain't happening. I got something for him. I taught him everything. Any good trainer, you don't teach everything you got. Besides that, we've got Mad Max Morrison versus El Gigantor. Now, El Gigantor, his moniker is the world's biggest cruiserweight. And that's because I've never seen a bigger guy. He moves like I do. I'm 160 pounds. I'm pretty damn quick on my feet. But that man will match me move for move, and he can flip. Like, you don't think a big guy can flip, but that big bastard does it, man. And not only does he makes it look smooth. It's insane.
That's awesome.
Yeah, dude, he's a big dude. Mad Max, you know, I think Mad Max has the experience. He definitely has the experience. But Gigantor, and he's got the heart. The kid's got heart. Like, he's been with me since day one. I got my money on the Gigantor, man. He's an Asylum guy. Let's see, what else do we got going on? We have a Cruiserweight 4-Way with Dan Lasers. He'll be in action. Another one of the students from Asylum. Taking on Xanderly Mickey, Paz Novak, and Jamie Espinoza. That should be something to watch. I love watching the guys, you know. I'm an aerial guy myself, so I like watching them fly. That's kind of like the thing.
Yeah. I'm into cruiserweight and aerial, so I love that. I do.
Yeah, I don't know, something about the pageantry, the air, the risk, the reward, that does it for me.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely. Now, talk to us. Is it, this Snake Pit Slugfest, is this a match style that you have? Is this something like, talk to us a little bit more about that.
Oh, man, it's just a simple, everyone in the ring, balls to the walls, you got to go over the top rope. It's kind of for bragging rights. There's no titles involved. It's just simply for bragging rights. And, you know, everybody's kind of got an ego a little bit. You know, you want to be the best. You want to have that trophy. So we figured, you know, we've never done anything like this before, a little pageantry. And, you know, I'm sure that if the wrong guy were to win it, we'd never stop seeing that thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, if the wrong guy were to win it, you might see that for the next 5 years. So it's something to fight for, you know, and it is a bragging right. You know, there's only one a year, so it could be interesting.
Especially if a winner eventually goes on, makes it to AEW or WWE, makes TV time, you know, then the guys coming after him are like, you know, hey, this guy won this title. Look what he went on to do. You know, it's a very, very cool stepping stone.
Yeah, man. And you know, that's what we're about. Cause you know, we don't pretend to be like we're, you know, TNA or, you know, the next greatest thing. But what we are is we're a group of guys that have the biggest heart you have ever seen, one of the coolest entrances you'll ever see. And all around, like, my guys, after every show, I'll honestly look at my guys and go, you gave me everything you had tonight. Thank you. Like, I don't ever have to question their performance. And that's, to me, we could have zero fans that come out, and that would just be their loss, because the things that some of these guys are doing is insane. The beatings that some of these guys are putting themselves through for the entertainment of fans is, you're just like, oh, I'm after that. Son of a bitch, that's going to be hard.
Yeah. I think we've all been out of the curtain looking through, cheering on one of our buds, and then actually seeing the match and realizing, oh, I'm on next. I got to be better.
Oh, man, how do
I
top
follow that?
That?
Yeah, how do I have to follow that? Are you serious?
I tell everybody here, don't water your stuff down. Be memorable. That's...
And the more you can bring yourself into your gimmick, it helps. The more you can bring to the table that's really you helps.
Correct. And, well, you know, the other thing is, at least some of these guys aren't like Brian Cage, where he just wants to get his shit in.
No, we don't have anybody like that on our not anybody, honestly. I have one of the chillest locker rooms besides the Coalition. Those guys are dickheads, but everybody else is smooth. I mean, real smooth. You always have that one group, we call them the DVC. I call them the Douchebag Club, the DVC, like a nice little moniker. That way, you know, if you're around kids, you can be like, DVC, move. Yeah, well, we have that one group, and that's the Coalition. They're like the thorn in my side. They're the ones that leave, you know, bottles in the locker room. They're the ones that they,
sounds like the American Freebirds of my company.
You know what? They're the ones that need something. They need something. We have it. Asylum just has not been able to give it to them yet. It's been that. We keep getting the shaft sideways, man. It's just it'll get there. It's something in progress.
There you go.
Yes, and sometimes those thorns in your sides, you know, we've had to deal with some of those as promoters ourselves. They can be a little bit tricky to deal with.
Tricky to deal with. They're like cockroaches.
Don't see my guys that would be a thorn in my side. They were great draws. They were good guys, too. They were actually really good guys, some of them outside the ring. But, man, they would do stuff in the ring like have a beer, bash party. And then, like, dump in the middle of the ring and just start acting like they're swimming in the beer. And, you know, then they get into the back. And you're looking at them like, do you realize you just, like, lathered my canvas in alcohol?
Oh, yeah. They don't realize you're going to the extra big laundromat.
All right, guys. Well, what we're going to do at this – sorry to cut you off, Eric and Sin. We're going to take our song break because we have other members of the Asylum roster that are going to be calling in right after this song break. And how could we be in an asylum if we're not just a little bit crazy? We'll be right back in about 4 minutes, 50 seconds. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Wrestling Authority Radio with the Stars of Asylum Wrestling, right here on the Evolution Radio Network. We'll be right back.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I'm just a little crazy. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. I'm just a little crazy.
Strings to make me cold. I'm seeing nothing. What's all it's known?
right, I'm just a little crazy. It's alright, it's alright, it's alright, I'm just a little crazy. Under my skin, into my bones, I feel its energy begin to make its home.
Wanted to become a wrestler, a referee, or a manager? Well, then you got to come and join us at Welfare Wrestling. We got some of the best trainers around. They've trained at Northwest Georgia Championship Wrestling, Southwest Florida Championship Wrestling, Alabama Championship Wrestling, and all them other there championship wrestlings. And we charge $10 worth of food stamps at our weekly shows behind Myrtle's Trailer Park. And that's what you get paid, food stamps. That way you can come and wrestle, and then you can go over to Floyd's and buy yourself that T-bone steak for $1.50. So come on down to one of our weekly training sessions, Monday nights, Wednesdays right after church, and Friday nights. Come to the training camp right behind Goober Pyle's gas station, Mayberry RFD. We'll be looking forward to seeing you. Y'all come down now.
All right, and we are back. That was Just a Little Crazy by Fight. Ooh, excuse me. And that was the late Steve Kane's parody ad called Welfare Wrestling. My name, once again, is Sadistic Sean David, along with my two co-hosts.
The Saltless Slither Sin.
And the reason why the show will never, ever be a bag of dicks.
And we're going to bring the owner of Asylum Wrestling back on with us again, Mr. Eric Shea. And I'm being told that this time that thorn in your side is here, Mr. Shea.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is the undeniable POS, Rob Myers.
Hello.
The tagline is so right.
Mr. Myers. So tell us a little bit more about not only yourself, but your coalition.
It's the coalition.
You see what I'm talking about? Did you hear the condescending tone? What a bag of dick guy.
Eric, don't start with me.
You know, I kind of like him.
Until you're around him.
See,
until you have to deal with him and pay him.
And camp with him.
Oh, my God. It never ends. No, he can't camp. He's not allowed here. Oh, no, no. That's part of the rule. The asylum guys can camp. The coalition can go sleep on the side of the road like the hobos they are.
Whoa. I'm sure he gets all the best hotels for his coalition.
Listen, you were talking all this smack because I have a fractured elbow and can't put my hands on you right now.
Well, I'm sure
that's
not going to stop you.
Question. If he's the promoter, shouldn't you not be putting your hands on him as a manager myself? Unless the extreme circumstances call for it. As a manager myself, I have never put my hands on a promoter.
Eric,
that's where we differ, because I'm not just a promoter.
Eric Shea is an active wrestler on the roster.
Well, okay.
I agree. I agree. I wrestled a guy named Big Daddy.
He is the
promoter.
Thorn in my back.
I waded into that guy with some barbed wire. Yeah, I've hit promoters with barbed wire, tax, you name it, anything.
Yeah, you won't see me in any main event, you know, being the booker. I won't do that, but I will put my I will definitely mix it up with them guys. Oh, that's some of the best shit ever. I have no qualms stepping in the ring with anybody, especially him. And what, September 24th, you're back? That dude, we've got it marked on the calendar, right? September 24th, your big comeback there, bud.
Yes, sir.
So what are you doing to rehab the elbow? What have they got you going through?
So I'll start physical therapy August 2nd.
Wow.
The little things I got. Hey, man, this is serious stuff.
Eric,
a lot of people
Eric.
Don't realize. Some
you,
of our injuries are
in my
He's lifting donuts
the
and the remote. He is lifting donuts and the remote for rehab. Do not listen to this BS.
One at a time, please. Please, only one at a time.
Yes, that is rule number one, folks. But Mr. Myers, what will you be bringing with your coalition this weekend to the Snake Pit Slugfest at Asylum Wrestling?
I have a huge, huge surprise for the Asylum faithful. Huge surprise.
Ooh-hoo.
My replacement is coming to Asylum for Wrestling to the Slugfest, and he is going to be the newest member of the coalition.
Well, I don't know how to tell you this, Mr. Myers, but I don't have that event on my calendar, so you didn't call the biggest surprise that you could have called. But we'll forgive you for that one, Mr. Myers. We will see what this weekend holds. At this time, this should be your target here, Mr. Myers. He is the current reigning and defending Asylum Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, El Gigantor.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Mr.
I
was not sure that El Gigantor was able to speak English. I was going to ask if he needed an interpreter, but I think we're okay on that. If you don't understand, just try to patch something through to Mr. Shea, and I will have your questions asked through Mr. Shea, if need be, Mr. Gigantor.
Sorry to interrupt you there, man. The L's Italian. I speak English perfectly fine.
Okay. See? Yeah, Sean, if you would shut the hell up and wait, you might find out something you're supposed to know.
Something about the actual champion.
Oh,
come on
God.
Now. The guy is the champion. Show him some respect here.
Yeah, Sean, be quiet.
I thought, couldn't it?
So, how long have you been champion now?
This coming show is going to be my second title defense. I just had my first title defense last show against Cody Hawk. I mean, I can't really say enough about it. The guy's the real deal. He took me to the limit. But that's what I look for as a champion. If I'm just squashing everybody and, you know, running through people, then do they really deserve a title shot in the first place? I don't think so. That's why I'm happy to be taking on someone of Max Morrison's caliber this weekend. And, you know, not to get right into it, but, you know, I've got this on my mind. I just want to say he thinks I fear him. He thinks he's my nightmare. He talks all this stuff, and that's fine. Honestly, I have a lot of respect for the guy. He's a great competitor, and he's probably won a lot of matches with his intimidation factor before he's even stepped in the ring. But that type of stuff doesn't work on me.
You know, being the Sultan Slither Sin, I have realized that everybody has that button, though. So do you have that button that sets you off in the ring? Something happens and you just...
Getting murder just, button.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. Everybody has that button. And when I first started out, that was one of my biggest weaknesses, was that button got pushed a little too easily. I would get really frustrated and... you know, do something stupid, cost myself a match, or, you know, cheat, and I don't really want to be a cheater because that, you know, that takes away from the legacy I'm trying to build.
Well, I'm afraid my legacy is tarnished.
I have no legacy.
But you do.
I'm sure you have a legacy. You've been doing this for 9 years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing this for 9 years.
You don't have a legacy, Katie. You have a legacy, as Marge Simpson would say, or Marge Bouvier.
Yeah.
So, El Gigantor, obviously that means, translates to some sort of giant. How tall are you?
I'm only 6'1", but I weigh in around 305 and carry it well. And I've been told that I look a lot bigger when I'm in my wrestling outfit. Like, people have, you know, I wear the mask and all. People see me in the locker room. I introduce myself, and then I'm in gear, and then they're like, "Whoa, who's this guy?" And I'm like, "You saw me earlier." And he's like, "How are you bigger?" I don't think.
How are you bigger? Yeah, it's kind of fun. And it's kind of fun.
But yeah, I'm a pretty large guy. I move pretty well. I go by the moniker World's Biggest Cruiserweight. But honestly, I go with that name. I do flips and stuff, and I can, you know, do aerial and everything. But the world's biggest cruiserweight to me is more like, cruiserweight is a mindset. Like, they're the people that had the work for everything, that told they couldn't have it and still went as hard as they could until they got what they wanted. And that's the kind of mindset I try to attack pro wrestling with. And that's kind of why I accept that moniker. Even though I'll never be a cruiserweight, there's never going to be a time in my life where I weigh 205 pounds. It just ain't going to happen. I'd probably be dead. But I have a lot of respect for cruiserweights, and that's kind of my way of showing it.
Now, you mentioned Cody Hawk. So, funny story, I was actually supposed to be promoting some events here in Illinois. We had a deal fizzle, but Cody was one of the talents that I was looking at bringing in, along with Shauna Reed, and who is the other female that travels with them? Haley Shadows?
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting Haley Shadows, but I definitely know Shauna Reed.
Harley Fairfax. I had to think of it. Was the other one that travels with them. I know too many females. I've been doing this for 20 years, and that's not anything in a Vince McMahon type of way, just to clarify that. But, Shauna Reed, hell of a talent. Cody Hawk, got to give credit where it's due. He's responsible for our AEW interim champion, John Moxley. A lot of other talents were helped by Cody Hawk. Good group of talent out of Ohio. If you're a promoter looking for some good hands, Cody Hawk, definitely a good hand to have as a part of your locker room. There's a lot of talent that I was looking at from outside of Illinois, because the getting back to Eric being a promoter, the common thing we see here in Illinois is you'll have 15 feds within a 30-mile radius of each other all using the same talent, and then wondering why some of them don't draw, because there's nothing to set them apart.
Yes, sir.
And people do not realize, if you can see the same thing and drive right down the street and see it, they're not going to come. This is why I'm going to give them the plug tonight, and this will be probably the only time that I do it, because I like the individual that is slated to be there this weekend. Powerhouse Wrestling Extreme returns to Streeter, Illinois on Saturday night for New Blood with Rhino at their new venue. You can find them on Facebook, Powerhouse Wrestling Extreme. Rhino will be appearing earlier in the day at the comic book store in Streeter, and there will be a seminar open to those that are fully trained and or in the process of training only. It is not open to newbies. Rhino will be there. I like Rhino. I always thought Rhino was a hell of a talent. I would not have wanted to take that gore. I'm about 155 pounds myself, so him goring me would look I'm sure Katie would, like, spit her teeth at the sight of that.
You know, the funny thing is a lot of people kept wanting to bring in Rhino to work me, too. And I always just, they're always like, no, you'll be a good matchup. And I'm like, I'm 225, and I'm 5'8". And I was well built, but I'm like, I'm no Rhino. That guy's huge.
And then if you have not got your tickets, get them for the return of Dreamwave Wrestling to Peru, Illinois. Max Caster will be there. Other great talent signed as a part of that event. If there's an event going on this weekend, we know that Ileana Pro Wrestling, God, I hope I said that right, because it's on the border of Illinois and Indiana, so it's just a garble for me. And I'm a ring announcer, so this is still garble for me. You know, they've got an event, I believe, this weekend over in Indiana, C3 Wrestling Indiana, SLA tomorrow night, St. Louis Wrestling Anarchy. If there's wrestling near you, go support it. But please, please, please know the difference between professional wrestling and a boatload of crap, because you'll be able to smell it a mile away. We have not survived doing this podcast for 9 years without myself, Steve Kane, or other people that have called in to be somewhat of a host or a guide on this show, having to call out.
Am I purple or something? Oh,
I wasn't done. I wasn't done yet, but having to call out our fair share of promoters that don't do it the right way, people that are not trained the right way, and reasons why people do not draw. And this is why we have our haters, because they call it the way it is. I will say, as a promoter that's was looking at the marketing and plan to promote shows this year, I can tell you one of the most effective things you can tap into right now if you're going to promote an event, any form of event, is Facebook advertising or forms of media like that. A lot of people have not realized that television is a dead manner. Here's why. Because not everybody has traditional cable anymore. Not everybody has satellite. Not everybody has this or that. There are other forms that
streaming.
You can ever... Correct.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I use streaming, so I don't see those local commercials that those wrestling companies put out. So, yeah, I do agree. I get a lot of my wrestling information where shows are going to be via Facebook or other internet outlets.
Yeah. I stream or have my Android box.
The thing about it is this, at least when I did my last one, you could set your Facebook ad within a 50-mile radius of the town. I ran one in 2019. I spent about $200 and it reached about 10,000 people within a 50-mile radius of the event itself. You cannot reach that many people for that small dollar amount any other way. Eric, I want to invite you, and this goes to you wrestlers that are on here with us or other talents that know other promoters. We do have our date for our promoters roundtable. It's going to be, I believe, in October is what I have slated for this. I'm trying to pull it up now. It's actually going to be Thursday night, October 20th, the return of the Open Invitational Promoters Roundtable right back here. Sign-up is now open for that. And what we have done in the past and what we're going to continue to do is bring promoters from all over the globe on this program to exchange not only booking philosophies, marketing ideas, ways to make events better, make business grow, put more money in your pocket as a promoter, and put more money in your talent's pocket from drawing healthier houses.
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
I mean, this is you know, people can say what they want. We've done this program for a lot of reasons, but this is the core of it, is getting back to the basics of giving companies like yours, Eric, from all over the globe, a platform to come on here, bring their talent with them, talk about upcoming events, talk about what's going on in Pennsylvania. And we also, because we are who we are, we will give you the airtime if need be. If you've got to call a certain promoter out that's invading your territory and doing it the wrong way and making business harder for you, that platform is for this as well. There's an old saying that says controversy breeds cash, and it does. It's just got to be the right controversy. Because in the last couple number of years, as many of us know, speaking out, Me Too movement, things of that nature, which we've done podcasts about ad nauseum here too. So it's a platform that is based for the wrestlers by people that actually know wrestling. The word mark gets thrown around too much, but I can deal with a mark, and I think Sin can too. The ones we don't like dealing with are the smart marks.
You know, I do have a saying when it comes to marks, though. And we were even, when we were trained, we were taught this. Just keep in the back of your mind, at one time you were probably a mark if you're in that ring learning how to wrestle, or you are a wrestler and you're trying to make a living doing it. You probably were a mark when you were a kid, because it takes that much dedication when you got to want it that bad. You know what I mean? When you get to that point, to be at the point of the undeniable POS Rob Myers, of course. I'm sure when he was younger, he watched wrestling on TV.
I love professional wrestling.
Of course. I'm sure you do. Would you say at one time in your life you were a mark?
Of course.
Of course. Yes.
Yeah. I think everyone who's been inside of the ropes at one point, outside of the ropes, have been a mark.
Especially in the indie world, you know.
I'm a mark for certain wrestlers. I must say, I will. That's special.
I mean, I'm so upset. I'm wearing a Christian Cage shirt from WrestleMania 21 while I'm doing this blog.
and then there's me with my Rosemary obsession, and she's my lock screen and my save screen. So yeah.
Yes.
Mark for Rosemary.
Well, I want to break away here for a minute. We are going to give the talent a little bit more time to talk in just a couple minutes. But we've got to take about 5 minutes to address the 1,000-pound elephant in the room. We did do a special on this, but we've got to address it again. I want to get these guys' input on this. This will be interesting. As of Friday, WWE Chairman Vincent Kennedy McMahon has retired. We know that full control has again been shifted in creative and head of talent relations to Triple H.
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Chris.
Yeah, okay. They say it's shifting to Triple H. That old man's going to have control from the grave. We've been saying that for years. Okay.
This is why we love Katie.
The old man used to say it. He's going to have control from the grave. Nothing's going to be able to be done without Vince's say, period, the end. Until the end of time.
But, yep. Phil, I think it's a good move. Just seeing from what he did in NXT and his time there. Triple H, first on Friday, was made head of talent relations, which means he was doing some hiring and firing if he had to. And then by Monday, he was head of creative. So
I hope so.
Yeah, that's what they did. And I think that's good. I think some guys are going to come along nicely. Hopefully Theory will stand out like I was hoping.
Yeah, I mean, because Vince was tearing up everything like 5 minutes before they would go on air and have something else to put up. You know, like, he was tearing up scripts. Like, 5-10 minutes before they go to air.
Yep.
Which is ridiculous because it changes the whole show.
Yeah.
Especially when you got to worry about TV times.
And Vince McMahon. You have to learn about Vince McMahon, too, is correct.
The other thing that we have learned, and Eric, you'll be old enough to realize this, but if he's head of talent relations and head of creative, there's a simpler term than that, than those two terms, and it's one word.
Booker.
Owner.
Thank you.
What word? Say owner? I say booker.
Booker.
Yeah, owner. Like, he's got all the power.
You don't need to give him 3 million titles. You give him one. He's the booker. He's the man where the buck stops.
And sometimes the booker will have an assistant, but that's about it, usually. In most cases, when the independents were still running strong early in the day.
Yeah, it would be Sean. Him and Sean, all the way.
And you know,
I freely admit in my own company, the booker was not me. You know, I had to say, of course, but I put somebody in charge of it.
And I did the same thing. I would go to the talent and negotiate prices and then hand my roster to Steve Kane and go, make sense of this because this is kind of my vision, and he would. And that's what we had with RWF at the end, and we had some great stuff planned. And, you know, it's people don't understand. People don't want to pay to come to wrestling to see 20 million spot monkeys. They don't want to come and have to have an AIDS test afterwards because there's been so much blood. I say this because you guys are in the state of Pennsylvania, by the way. It's the same way over in Indiana because the Ian Rotten. I almost said the same in Ian Rotten because of Indiana. But anyway, you know, it's one of those things. These fans come to escape for 3 to 4 hours. And what I was taught very early on is you have to suspend disbelief. This is why I get so aggravated when people come to me and say, Sean, kayfabe's dead. No, it's not. It may be dead to the television industry. It may be dead in other promotions across the country. It does not have to be dead in the territory that you are running or operating in. And guys need to be smart enough to understand that they can keep kayfabe even if a company will not.
Yes. 100%. On a side note for Triple H, as much as I love the guy and his booking talent, I can't see this being long-term, though, like 10 years or anything, because he does have that heart problem now. And that
Correct.
Is a lot of stress for a company of that size. So I hope the booking's great while he's there, but I hope he gets somebody trained and right that was in the business to take his spot, hopefully within the next 5 years or so, just for his own health purposes.
Oh, Tripp? Tripp's got heart issues?
Yeah, he almost died.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, he had a big big surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad, and here's the thing. We know that they can't bring in Eric Bischoff. I love Eric Bischoff to death. Was supposed to work with him last year. I like him, but he can't run this. He's old enough at this point. We don't want to hand him that kind of stress. Dusty
Nor
is going
Russo.
Dusty.
Oh, definitely not Russo.
Dusty.
Fuck Vince Russo. There's my F-bomb.
No Dusty, because Dusty is not with us, and even if he were, he'd be too old to run it full time. We can't do Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman's up there in age, and I mean, right. Kevin Sullivan is up there in age. He'd be one that you could bring back. Jerry Jarrett is up there in age.
Yeah.
So if you're a lot of people aren't mentioning the name. A good friend of Triple H, the Road Dogg Jesse James Armstrong. The Armstrong family is a very well-respected name in the business.
Here's the one that people don't expect because they overshadow it. We know that Cody's not ready to step up and run a promotion. That's why he left AEW. He didn't want that all that power. It was money at the end of the day, but it also came down to he didn't want that power and responsibility. He took on too much too quick. You have somebody there now that had a different vision for wrestling, and his family legacy speaks for itself. He will be a part of this weekend's events in Nashville, Tennessee. Both events, Ric Flair's last match and WWE SummerSlam.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about J-E-double-F, J-A-double-R, E-double-T, Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett is one that could actually... He's not that old. He could bring his vision with Triple H, and there could be magic there. Because we know that Bruce Pritchard has been taken off as head of creative. We know John Laurinaitis was screwing shit up left and right. Go listen to Jim Cornette tell some stories about Jim Laurinaitis and OVW and why that all fizzled.
Oh, back in the day when Boss Mahoney was still alive, he had some stories about Laurinaitis. Before I even knew who Laurinaitis was, I knew who he was from him.
I think they've got a chance now. What I don't appreciate is that sniveling little shit Tony Khan making the comment that he's the longest tenured promoter in wrestling now.
Oh, fuck.
Dude, I laughed so hard when I saw that.
Yeah, I know. It makes him seem so bush league. Even if it was meant as a joke, it's just such a bush league comment.
Yeah, it didn't come off well.
No.
He definitely has an ego.
People, definitely.
I don't want to talk bad about anybody, but you're saying that when there's a lot of people that have been doing this a lot longer. Like, I don't know. He kind of put himself on a pedestal, I feel like.
Well, yeah. You know, a lot of stuff, unfortunately, was kind of handed to him, you know, early on in his life. You know what I mean? And say what you will about Vince McMahon, but he grew that company. And, you know, he expanded into a billion-dollar corporation. Tony Khan didn't have to start from the meager beginnings.
Yeah,
that Vince
he had it handed to him. Here you go.
Yeah.
Well, and this is the one that I want to mention because we were talking about Damian Wayne and some other great people that have been a part of this organization. There is a man that has had his hand in some wrestling companies, and he's got his hands in one now that is the most prevalent name in the sport of professional wrestling outside of the WWF. I'm talking about one Billy Corgan, who built Resistance Pro in 2011 from the ground up in Chicago, then was a part of TNA, was slated to buy TNA. And that fell through. So what did Billy Corgan do of the Smashing Pumpkins? He went and bought the National Wrestling Alliance, a promotion that my promotion was a part of. I had the NWA World Tag Team titles defended in my promotion, the NWA World Women's title. Blue Demon Jr. was too scared to drop the title to Almighty Sheik, so we didn't get the world title, but we were supposed to. Mr. Khan, Tony Khan, I don't appreciate you. You know, kind of being a sniveling little shit, because here's the thing, buddy. The NWA is celebrating their 74th year in St. Louis in just a couple weeks. You ain't going to beat that legacy.
Yeah, that's only longer than 3 years. But
what?
I said, you know, it's a little longer than 3 years.
Yes.
A little bit longer.
All right. Well, Eric... Bit. Do you want to talk to us about El Gigantor actually spoiled the news for us. Mad Max Morrison challenging El Gigantor for the Asylum Heavyweight Championship this weekend. Rob, who will your clients be facing?
Augie the Caveman will be in a one-on-one with Eric Shea. And then my surprise will also be with me.
Uh-huh.
And he will be in action.
Surprise.
Is your surprise, this was the greatest story I ever heard Bruce Pritchard tell, because I listen to a lot of these podcasts. So does anybody remember in the 90s there was a character that they called Who?
Yes, that was Jimmy Angel Neidhart Under a Hood, was it not?
Yes, I believe so, yes. So maybe that is the surprise, although we know Neidhart's no longer with us, but could we see Who?
Oh.
I cannot say Who.
All right. Eric, anything else you want to promote that you guys got coming up in the next couple months?
November 19th, we are back at the Clearfield Fairgrounds, and September 24th, we're back at the Clearfield Fairgrounds. We'll have back-to-back shows. We run out the fairgrounds. those are the next two dates that will be in action for Asylum Pro Wrestling at the Clearfield Fairgrounds. And next year we will be at the Clearfield Fair itself. So there's a little anywhere over the radio waves, as so to speak. You guys are the first to hear about it. But we did get the Clearfield Fairgrounds for or the Clearfield Fair for next year.
Congratulations
yeah.
on that.
Congrats.
Good news.
Definitely so. Thank you guys for having
Excellent.
Us on.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us on, man.
Not
a
problem. Anytime. Well, ladies and gentlemen, and this is no disrespect to the current champion, El Gigantor, but our main event of the evening will be calling in about 8 to 10 minutes, Mad Max Morrison. He will be calling in. He'll be talking about this weekend. I'm sure he'll be talking about El Gigantor. We'll be hearing from lots of others that will be calling in here tonight. And we've mentioned some other promotions, given them the invite to call in. So we are going to get to that just momentarily. And folks, we're going to play one of more of our spoof ads while I go ahead and screen this call real quick, and we'll be right back with more Wrestling Authority Radio with the stars of Asylum Wrestling right here on the Evolution Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Away.
Stay.
This Saturday night at the Northeast Philly International Guard Armory, Craptastic Wrestling presents a non-star-studded car of unexplainable matches featuring the Mid-Afternoon Express versus Captain Fantastic and the Brown Dirt Cowboy in a Falls Count Nowhere match. Jerry Idol versus Austin Lawler in a fully empty arena match. Our main event, Arnold Ziffel Jr. versus Oliver Wendell Douglas IV in a Fans Bring the Steel Cage Parts match. Admission is just $1, because that's all this crap is worth. That's Craptastic Wrestling this Saturday. Doors open at 6 p.m. Matches start whenever we feel like it. Be there!
Professional wrestling, entertaining action that attracts a crowd and provides excitement at a fair or festival. The right promotion will have professionally trained talent with professional grade ring gear and equipment. Fairgoers will want to see more of them and attend ticketed events in the area. Bringing the wrong promotion, not vetting their credentials, you could end up with an embarrassing disaster. The talent may have no ring gear, little or no professional training, aren't family-friendly, and perform so poorly, you'll wish they'd return to the backyard they came from. Burned organizers won't chance bringing in pro wrestling ever again, shutting out legitimate promoters. And the fairgoers, if they want to see wrestling, will only go to WWE events. If you want live professional wrestling at your fair or festival, don't get burned. Check their credentials before you book. A public service announcement from the Nosebleed Seats. You can contact...
This is a hardcore hippie, Electric Eric Freedom, and you're listening to the Graveyard Radio Network. Peace and love, baby. Peace and love.
All right, folks, and we are back. And speaking of Mr. Eric Freedom, we broke this news on Friday night on our special. On August 25th, the hardcore hippie Electric Eric Freedom returns to war with the stars of his promotion, and we couldn't be happier to have him back with us. Sin and Mr. Freedom go long, long way back, and Eric Freedom is actually the man that is responsible for getting me over my fear of bumping, and we'll talk about that with him and how he was able to do that, and a technique that many trainers have picked up.
I legitimately have known Eric Freedom all 25 years of my career. His career spans further than mine. Before I even met the man, he had been in the WWE. So,
excellent.
We will be talking to him. Well, we will get back to Rob Myers in just a little few moments. And We'll get to El Gigantor because El Gigantor will be facing this man on this event that we have been promoting here all night. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, please welcome to the airwaves of Wrestling Authority Radio. It's main event time. This is Mad Max Morrison.
Man, I have been listening to this show the whole time and popping so hard because I've been screaming trying to get in on the conversation. What's going on, everybody?
Hey.
Now, I've been watching
I know how it feels. I mute myself every once in a while by accident, and I'll be talking to myself. Well, everybody's, you know. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you guys have, but I've taken the time to actually look this guy up on the internet and watch some of his matches, and I got to say I like what I see. Very impressed.
Oh.
I like his attitude in the ring. I had a very similar attitude. And, man, big fan. Nice to talk.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Well, Finn, I will tell you, you're going to have a lot more in common with this individual because Max is also in a lot of bands, played in a lot of bands, that whole music scene that Finn is into, behind the scenes of Finn. So I'm going to give you guys...
I was in a band called Mr. Sin.
I will give
Music
Max... Go ahead, Max.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, man. By all means, go right ahead, brother.
No. I was going to say, Max has also been in bands, so we're going to let Max and Finn kind of have their little jam session here and talk about music. We'll get back into the professional wrestling career of Mad Max Morrison because, Katie, this will be one of those times where we just sit back and look pretty unless you've got questions about music that you'll have more of than I am because I'm the baby here. I'm only going to be 32 in November.
Yeah, you just saw the AP.
Oh, man, you wet behind the ears, brother.
Yeah, he's still pretty green.
Oh, man, I heard you play drums. Is that true?
Yes, sir. You, in fact, have heard correct.
Yeah.
For the longest time, man, I've been playing music ever since I was a little kid. Like, truthfully... I've got, I come from a lineage of entertainers of all kinds. I've got like great grandparents that were vaudeville comedians during war times. I got a grandmother who used to dance with the Rockettes. And then I got athletes too because my dad and my sister both used to do gymnastics and took home trophies, all kinds of stuff. And my sister's a trapeze, does all kinds of like sky dance and all that stuff. So it was only natural that the mad one was going to get into the entertainment business because this is where the man belongs.
There you go, man. There you go. You know, if you're an entertainer, we talked about a wrestler, just being an entertainer in general, man, you know, those crowds, they get you moving, you know.
Dude, there's no feeling better, man, just than just getting that roar, just pissing them off or – even going out there and, like, poking fun at the old people in the front row and just watching them swat at you, man, no better feeling.
No better. Isn't it better to be a heel than a face? It's so much better.
I mean, apples and oranges, everybody's got their own opinion. Me, personally, I like doing a bit of both, and here's why. Because in some markets, I'll get over like wildfire because people like seeing the wild-eyed headbanger just come out there, bang his head, laugh and joke, and just make a fool out of his opponent, you know? They love that shit. But then there's other times where they're just not so cool to me, and I have to go out there and be a complete asshole. And they,
I hear you.
Sometimes you just got to be the asshole, you know, just to get that point across.
Yeah, you just got to be the asshole.
It's so important. So important.
Assholes
like you
are
said,
important.
I call my fans the sinners. They supported me well, followed me. That was great. But boy, those guys, sometimes you get an opponent and you just got to be an asshole, like you said. You got to pull a few tricks out of your bag, take it that extra mile, and not be afraid to. And to get where you want to be in this business.
See, See, and on top of that, to add to what you're saying, you also got to think outside the box in this day and age, especially.
Yeah.
So almost everything has been done. All right. So it's like me coming up in pro wrestling, all my trainers, all my mentors are old school guys, man, old journeymen. My primary trainer, Damian Wayne, friend of y'all's.
Yep.
You know, he taught me if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, bub.
Oh, I love to hear that line. So true.
Well,
so,
and I know where he got that because you and I talked about this individual. We'll talk more about him in a little bit. But Tracy Smothers is notorious for that line. And
bless
you know,
Tracy, man.
I miss him so much. We'll tell that story here in a little bit too. But the thing about it is this. Most people do not realize how to think outside the box, not just from a promoter standpoint. I ended up with a medical condition in 2009 while I was opening my company and got told, yeah, you can't be in the ring full time. You can manage, you can do stuff here and there. And it took guys like Ed Schumann and other promoters that I worked with and even have met on this podcast to make me realize I don't need to give my body to wrestling because I've given enough of that to wrestling. I can use my mind. And at the end of the day, sometimes that's the greatest asset that anybody can have. And as I told Max in a personal chat we had earlier today, and I think I told Eric this too, there are too many people out here in 2022 that will take somebody's money and are afraid to tell that person the following. And that is this. I had a promoter that Sin has talked to by the name of Frank Rude. He used to run in the St. Louis market, used to run all over Illinois, but he told me this, and it was a very wise word that not a lot of people had told me beforehand, and it's this. There is a spot in wrestling for everybody, but not everybody's spot is wrestling.
Nope.
And too many people do not understand what I mean when I say that.
Can I throw out a holler to referees?
Hey, fucking man.
Referees are some of the hardest working men in that ring, and people don't even realize it.
Trust me. I watched the ref. Once one of my friends told me that, he said he's tired after reffing all night, and I'm just like, okay. So I watched the refs doing what they do in the ring, and they got to move.
And they got to be
gotta
smart.
Move. They got to move. They got to be smart, and they got to, just you got to think outside the box when you're a ref as well. But, I mean, their job is tougher than a hockey ref, okay? And that's on ice. So, their job's tougher.
I've been pretty fortunate. I've had some pretty good refs. I've even had some matches with refs that have reffed in the WWE, and you can tell the difference from a good ref and not a good ref.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. A great ref is hard to find, but when you've got them, you hang on to them because they will make or break your match. I swear.
They can.
I know I've been fortunate enough to be in the ring with a bunch of really great referees. Like there's one in particular. I sing his praises all the time. I met him through a cue ball Carmichael camp. I think it was like maybe 15 or 16, but his name is Dustin Pruitt. And he, I swear to God, one of the best referees I'd ever been in the ring with. And I'd also been fortunate enough to work a match with Brian Hebner officiating too, man. And Dustin and Brian, I could definitely put them on the same scale next to one another.
Awesome. The host, I don't want to say that I'm replacing because Steve can never be replaced, but I'm the third slot now, and Steve was – I'm one of the originators. Steve Kane was a ref, and I used him for my company, Wicked Wrestling Alliance. And boy, once I got him, you can ask Sean there. I kept a hold of him. He was good in the ring.
Yeah, you keep him. We that's what we did. We kept him.
Well, and not only that, but a lot of people don't realize he went out and tested a ring one night and got injured running the ropes, and that damn near. Was it, but he booked for me, and the reason he booked for me is because he would get me to think outside the box. He's like, well, you got this big sumbitch here that you want to put the belt on, but you want to give him the belt right away. You can't do that. You've got to have the baby be able to chase, because if he's running through everybody like hot fire, how's the baby going to catch up? Things like that. Little things like that, like with Ed Schumann in the NWA. Those are things that I learned very early on. It's tradition. It's respect. It's paying honor to an area. A lot of promoters won't do this. And I'm one of the very few that Wilson can attest to this. When I was getting ready to come back here in 2019, I promoted other events or promotions that had run the area and said, hey, they're a part of our history here. Wrestling here has been a big deal for, you know, 20. At that point, it was like 26 years. It's probably about 30 by now. But you can't ignore history. It does not matter if that promoter is pissed in your mouth or not. At the end of the day, you can be the bigger man and give them a good rub for it, whether they like you for it or not, to try to tie in their history with your history. And that's when you get the sense of community with the wrestling that a lot of people don't want to have. But at the end of the day, we've got way too many Indians running around that think they're chiefs and have never been taught by the tribal chief how to do it. And that's why the business is in the state that it's in.
Well, that's why Max here, watching some of his matches, I'm like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing in the ring. And he's got psychology. Tell you what, brother, you got it all in the palm of your hands. How many years you been in this business?
I'm just coming into my eighth year.
Oh, you're coming into your prime then.
Wow.
Yeah, I started a little bit late, though. I started in 14. I was three months removed from college, right? And then I found me a wrestling school. I was 30 years old. Now I'm like a couple away from 40. And, yeah, I feel like I'm getting there.
I still feel like my best wrestling years were 35 or 36. That's when I was winning all my titles. You know, when you hit that point, I think the 8-year mark is just a good mark in general. You know what I mean? It's where you really, the light bulbs really start going off. And it shows in your ring work. It shows in your ring work, my friend.
Thank you, sir. And you know, and I look at my trainer not just as, you know, my trainer, my friend. I was actually inspired by D-Dub, man, because he traveled a very similar path that I'm on, because he too started when he was 30 years old. He's 50 now. He's AIWF champ, traveling the country. He's been to Puerto Rico. He's done all the majors. He's enhanced just about everywhere. He elevates everybody.
Right.
But he started at 30 years old. So I was like, well, if he can do that, I can do that. Ain't gonna be no thing.
I don't mean
take nothing away. by the ain't gonna be no thing. I mean, by that is in I ain't gonna let age deter me from nothing.
There you go.
Yes.
So you're,
and we do. Katie and I both know Cue Ball Carmichael. He was a regular caller on here. We need to talk to Uncle Q again. He's got a camp coming up with Damian Wayne that I did promote on my Facebook page. Folks, if you're looking to be trained in this business the right way, these are the two men that you want to see for this. These two men, Cue Ball Carmichael, Damian Wayne, travel the world up and down. A lot of respect for Damian Wayne, a lot of respect for Cue Ball Carmichael. Cue Ball Carmichael is not a man that will have somebody come into his camp and say, this isn't for you, and take their money anyway.
He don't play that game.
You know, there was another guy out on the East Coast that we're good friends with, an old ECW legend by the name of C.W. Anderson that was doing a seminar not that long ago. He's one you can see. Oh, boy, that interview was fun because he just tell it like it is, man. And too many people, look, I've been doing this 20 years myself. Sin's been doing this 25. The old man, Steve Kane, was doing this almost 30 years. We have earned the right, and Max, even you, we speak to you when we say this, to say something if you see something. If the guy is the drizzling shit and the promoter shouldn't be booking him, there are too many people that won't go to the promoter because they don't want said guy to get their feelings hurt and have the thing blasted out online. I'm here to tell you that we can save the wrestling business in 2022, but it's going to take weeding through the waters to get rid of the trash and propelling what's great.
What I think it is, and what I think ought to be happening is the boys and the girls, I include, or everybody, you know, whoever's participating, they need to put a business mind front and forward, because that's honestly what it comes down to at the end of the day, is just how business gets ruined. And like you said, if somebody's a drizzling shit, it's like, how are they going to be able to, how's the company going to be able to make any money or build their business on the back of people that can't draw nothing? So, yeah, you got to, it's not anything personal, but, yeah, you got to go in there and police and regulate. If you want good product, you got to speak up and say what's up. On the same token, you got talents in your locker room that are God's gift to wrestling, you know, can put a button every 18 inches. Then you also need to praise those folks too.
Well, and that's just it. And there are areas that are being oversaturated by bad wrestling. And we've always said this, it takes one bad wrestling show to leave a bad taste in people's mouth. In an area, even if there is a good event that is coming, if there's been a bad taste left in their mouth, it is harder for the good promotion to now pull that fan back in their door. And we see it time and time again. It's not just here in Illinois. It's everywhere. And it goes to your point about policing the business, Max. It's absolutely 100% factual. If we don't police it and we let every Tom, Dick, and Harry that gets a little bit of training be on the card, or, you know, this goes for the boys, too. Some of these boys will hear that there's a new promoter in town, and this guy may not know everything in the world, and we're going to take his money, and we're not going to tell him otherwise. I.E., and I love AEW to death, I do, but I.E., AEW, Tony Khan. Nobody that is there that is taking that kid's money has the balls to walk up to Tony Khan and say, you're fucking up the wrestling business, you're messing up the history, you're messing up the tradition, and here's why, and here's how we fix it. And it's going to take people like that in the wrestling business in 2022 that are going to make products better.
Now, I do want to point out, though, guys that are green, don't feel discouraged if somebody gives you these comments. When I was being brought in and I was green, I guarantee you, like I said, my in-ring trainer was Brian Lyle. As I said earlier, was trained by Boogie. Brian didn't let anything get by. If I did something wrong or messed something up, he was the first guy to get in my face and say, hey, this isn't how it's done. You should be doing it this way. And he kept it old school, and I couldn't have had the career I had without him.
Absolutely. Because I know even yeah, all my trainers coming up and all my mentors said all the same things. Because I know for probably about the first 4 or 5 years of my career, I had these guys harping on me for all kinds of stuff. And I was very fortunate and great and thankful and gracious that they would even give me the time of day. Because I know a lot of the old cats, you know, if you ain't worth a squirt of piss, they're not going to waste their time to talk to you.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But they saw something. They saw enough in me. It was like, all right, this kid's trying. He's trying to get it. He's on his way there. Let's go ahead and throw him a bone. You know. So I know I definitely appreciate that. And also I wanted to say this like a minute ago too, talking about the old trainers and shit wrestling. I had maybe four different guys. I've had D-Dub, CW. Preston Quinn, I've heard it from Tom Pritchard even. One foul punch could fuck up an entire wrestling event.
Yep.
Oh, wow, eh?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Because there are things called receipts.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we talk about when you were working with Gangrel? Can you talk to us about that?
Well, it's interesting. Absolutely. I know Gangrel to a point.
Man, that guy, I know for me, being as big of a horror fanatic as I am, and, you know, I'm marked out because I've never had the opportunity to work a vampire at that point. But after a few years of that shit, I think I'm done working vampires because I'm pretty much 0-5 against them. So.
It's unfair to have vampire strength,
man.
They have vampire strength. You can't compete against that.
No, I sure can't, man. I got.
I wanted to point out, though, somebody who's totally the opposite. Well, for one, Ace Cowboy Bob Orton, most class act I've ever met in the business. Great guy. I could see how his son succeeded with an example like him. But from a standpoint of somebody that I just brought in, I had worked with him on a show, and then I brought him into my company for a one-shot, Al Snow. This is back when he was doing the Tough Enough stuff. He came in, and you know how guys will get in the ring and be working on stuff, you know, before the crowd shows up, loosening up, doing whatever, doing some spots. Al took the time to actually, he'd walk up to the ring, he's watching him, and he would give advice. You know, and at the time, he was the guy training WWE guys. He wasn't getting paid to give anybody advice. He was getting paid to do his match, and he was fantastic about it. He treated the boys with respect. He pointed out things that, you know, maybe somebody here that hasn't been on a bigger program, you know, might not notice, you know, and the guy was fantastic.
Well, I agree. I've been fortunate enough to be around Al once, and that was at VCW in Hampton, Virginia. It was like a few years ago. Same thing. He was watching a whole bunch of the matches, and when guys were coming back, he was giving them input and feedback, and you know, I know I appreciate it because Al's one of those guys I hold pretty dear as far as like being a wealth of knowledge.
He is, you know? And he not only was he a wealth of knowledge that night, just like I said, he presented himself like a class act. You know what I mean? He was very professional.
Yes.
On top of it, just a great guy, but funny, real funny guy too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and he'll get you with them zingers when you ain't even ready, man. He's quick.
Yes, he is.
Well, we're gonna play this real quick. I hope it's what I think it is, and we'll come back and talk about another individual that Max has worked with that was very good friends, Steve Kane and I, and even Katie. Well, I guess that's just his music. Tracy Smothers. Miss him so dearly. We had an event slated in 2017 that was supposed to have Bob Orton Jr. and a promoter that Sin and I had worked for. Cost me Bob. It was his wedding anniversary weekend, and I said, Bob, I said, this has already got messed up. Let's make up the date at a later time. Tell the wife I said hello. She'll appreciate me not asking you or begging you to come here. Go spend time with the wife. Make that special. We'll make something special with you happen later on. Well, Tracy found this out because he was opening a training school here in Illinois with Joey Grunge. And Tracy knew that it was a benefit event, and he came. And I'm like, okay, what do I need to pay you? And I had plenty of money on reserve for Tracy Smothers. When a legend like that walks into your company, you find a way to pay them by any means necessary. And he would not take above $80. No matter how much me or my mom tried to pay him, because he was such a sweet guy to my mother. You know, it's people like that that make this all worth it. Because when a legend like Tracy Smothers is willing to go out of his way to do that for you, you know you're doing something right in the business. Sin got to work on the show that I didn't get to work on years ago with Dr. Dusty Williams.
That brings it to seminars. You're talking about seminars earlier, people holding seminars. Boy, I knew he was going to be doing a seminar, and some of the boys were in it. And I didn't do the seminar. I kind of just, you know, sat down in the seat and I was watching what was going on. Boy, did a lot of guys learn a lot that night from Steve Dr. Death Williams. That's a guy, I'll tell you. Man, when he passed, I was very sad. Wow, what an amazing man that was.
I can only imagine the knowledge that he would share. I know,
yeah.
I guess the time that I came up and I was watching wrestling, I didn't really pay too much mind to Dr. Death really until I started getting further along in my career, because I know that's when I started appreciating the real workhorses and just the badasses and all that stuff, the real workers, you know what I mean?
Oh,
right.
Steve could definitely stretch somebody if he wanted to.
I heard horror stories about him in Japan, man.
Guys like him and Vader and Mick and freaking
Stan Hansen.
Yeah, with that clothesline, he hit you so hard because he couldn't see you because he had a bad eyes.
Mm-hmm. You better hope to God you stayed in your lane or your head's coming off.
Exactly. You think JBL was bad? Yep. I can watch some Stan Hansen videos.
Oof.
Boy. Yeah, Gangrel was, he's a good talent, somebody that I'd still book to this day. A lot of promoters do not realize he's not that expensive. I'm not going to disclose his price, but he's not that expensive and totally worth it. He's got a training academy that he's running. He helps out a lot of promotions. You know, this is somebody people don't understand. And I'm going to disclose this, and this will be the reason that the guy will never appear on this podcast, but I'm going to go ahead and say this. Any promoter out there looking to book a name, don't invest in Rikishi, because the figure that I was given for Rikishi to come in and sit on his big butt to sign autographs was $4,500.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's a big wow. I'm thinking maybe then, with that kind of money, I'm thinking maybe Undertaker could come in and sign some autographs.
$4,500 for Rikishi, and he's not going to work. I could book a lot better and smarter and get some guys that are going to work. Even if I did do one name that wasn't able to work or wasn't willing to anymore, that just did signing, I would never spend that for him. Some of these guys that are getting released are asking for insane amounts of money. Some promoters know better. Promoters that have been around the block a time or two, like Sin or I, know how to haggle with talent, or especially Sin's wife, Mel Storm.
Yeah, Mel Storm did do a lot of the haggling. Her and Luna Vachon actually got very close, so it was kind of sad when Luna passed.
You've got to have promoters out there that know how to do that without insulting talent, because there's that that goes on, and then guys wonder... Or promoters wonder why the guy comes in, works, gives them an okay, not a 5-star match, maybe a 3-star, doesn't give it his all, takes his money, and you never hear from the guy again. That would be your reason. Max, you've talked about working with some of the biggest names in the industry. We've got an event that you're going to be a part of. You're challenging for the Asylum Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Now, how long have you been a part of Asylum Wrestling?
I have only been around for one event.
Wow.
You must have been pretty impressive to get a title shot after one
event. Sin, I love you.
You
for
know,
that.
Sometimes you just have it, you know?
Like the Big Daddy guy I talked about earlier. I don't know what I showed that guy that first night, but you can ask Sean. That guy just... He loved to give me very healthy paydays, and he knew he wanted to put the title on me pretty early on.
That was a promoter that would do anything to try to save the integrity of his company to keep an old-timer around. He thought he was an old-timer, but he found out very quickly, because I managed Sin on this first booking that I got him for this individual. And Sin and him are out of the ring, and I've been blinded, and I'm back out at the ring for the finish, and I'm like, okay, well, they're going to go another 3 to 5 minutes, and the next thing I hear is Big Daddy, ow, my knee. And I look at Sin, and I'm like, fuck. Big Daddy's like, we got to take it home. I'm like, Christ almighty.
It's fine, though. Once you have experience, you learn how to work around that. I was still pretty green once, and... So somebody asked me to come out and manage him during the hardcore match because I was working that card that night anyway. You know, and he's like, you know, and then I'll come out with you. And I'm like, okay, we can work this out. We talked to the promoter. Got it cleared. And I think I've told this story on the air before. But, yeah, the guy I was managing got hurt on the outside. And basically he's like, I'm hurt. You know, I got to get it back in the ring and just finish this. I went over to his opponent. I'm going to break a little kayfabe here. I just said, hey, he's hurt. Cut me off. Take it home. And all I saw was a cheese grater in his hand coming at my face.
Oh, you got what you asked for.
Yeah, I literally got cut off. Part of my nose got cut off. Part of my forehead got cut off.
Oh. Ow.
Ian rubbed some pineapple on your wounds too, did he?
Oh, my God.
Turn your face into a pizza.
Oh, man.
Folks, I want to give you a reminder that we're going to roll into a little bit of overtime here tonight with our lovely guest here, Max Morrison. And we still have his challenger for this weekend on the line. Will he overcome El Gigantor? We're going to find out momentarily. What we need you to do to hear the remainder of this program right now,
as
we go into the after party, you must dial in at our guest listener line at 515-602-9678. Again, that number is 515-602-9678. We are going to open the listener lines in just a little while for questions with Mad Max Morrison, but in order to get your questions answered, you must call in now. Again, that call-in number, 515-602-9678. Max, I mean, I've been around the block a time or two, too, and some of these spots we get ourselves in as talents, referees, even as an announcer, I remember there's been instances where guys have put their hands on me, and I'm like, well, here's the thing. If you put your hands on me, and I'm the only ring announcer that we have, and I'm a stickler about this because I learned how to do it the right way. If you don't have anybody else that can go out there and announce the matches the way that I can, and especially if we're videotaping this, then chances are I'm not going to let you take me out. I care about the integrity of the product being presented to the audience and on footage that's going to be airing to have any Joe Schmo take me out as an announcer. If you've got somebody else on the card that knows what they're doing as an announcer and can actually do it the right way, especially with a big main event, then yes, I don't have a problem being taken out. But too many people don't know when to say, hey, I'm not going to do that. Go ahead, Finn.
Oh, yeah, if you notice on the very first Wicked show, I believe you were there, the ref did not get really – I put my hands on him a little bit, but I didn't rough him up, you know, just like a little push. Other than that, he didn't get touched like any of the refs, like physically, all night until the main event when the ref accidentally got hit by Freedom when Jerry Lynn was spinning him off his back into a cutter. And that's part of it. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Beat the crap out of a ref and have him come out for the next match and be fresh as daisies? No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, not only that, but psychology-wise, we've got to give credit where it's due to Max Morrison and guys that trained him like a Damian Wayne. The thing that I hate when I go to an independent event now is you only have so many referees. So one of your referees gets taken out in the first half of the event, and they're back out on the second half of the event. Absolutely not. If the referee is out, he is out for the night. He or her.
Yeah, let's talk about females. There are a lot of good female refs out there still.
See, you guys pose, like, excellent point, because this kind of circles back to the conversation you were talking about earlier about the guys just kind of coming in and doing their thing. But, like, one of the biggest problems that I've seen in the independent wrestling community is there's a lot of guys and there's a lot of the boys, a lot of the girls that'll go in there asking for a lot of money just to come in there and put on a pair of boots. But the thing is, you can really build your value by learning a lot of different jobs backstage You could learn how to referee. You could learn how to ring announce and have that shit ready in case the company needs it. Make yourself more valuable, more stock in your brand, more stock in yourself. You can get more money.
And that's one thing I was really happy about with where I was trained. I was trained at the House of Pain, which was Powerhouse's school. And when you're around that and they make you, we would do matches, you know, once we're experienced enough in practice. And he would have, you know, one of the trainees rep the match, learn how to rep. This trainee, you're going to manage this guy, learn how to manage, you know, critique it. They were really good about teaching us boys a multitude of skills in the business. And not everywhere does that, and I feel very fortunate for that. And like you said, take it upon yourself. You have to learn it.
This is why I became multiversed. I said, if I can announce, if I can manage, if I can ref, if I can book, if I can teach them how to market better, I become more valuable as an asset than just a regular talent to any promotion that I walk in the door of. And I've had this argument with certain promoters that I've worked with over the years. They're like, well, you're just a talent. I bring a lot more to the table than just my talent and my presence being at the actual event. If you'll take the time to listen to me and actually have a conversation that isn't all one-sided and or I think that you're a douche by the end of it. Because Zen and Katie can tell you. Go ahead.
Well, Sean, just as a point, you started out with me training you. You wrestled for a while. Like I said, due to physical reasons, you had to move on and do some other things. But, I mean, in the last 2 months, you repped a show, I know. And you also managed me at a show. So, I mean, right there, the proof is in the pudding. You didn't just learn how to wrestle. You know, they needed a ref at a show, so what did you do? You stepped up, you ref. You know, at the show we went to, C-Red, you know, he wanted me to have a manager, so you were right there to be my manager. I knew you weren't going to screw up any spots. I knew you were trained, you weren't going to miss anything, and I knew you were going to be where I needed you to be, and that's how the matches went smooth.
That's, you know, and it's people don't understand, Max, you made a very valid point. If you make yourself more well-versed, and one thing that especially is not happening, and I've got to give credit where it's due, this actually came from the guy that trained him, but too many students that call themselves students of the game, and Max, I hope you agree with me on this, do not go back and watch footage. There have been dozens of video stores that have gone out of business across the country that may have old WCW, WWF, ECW tapes that you can get your hands on. We've got a network that streams all of that. If you're not going back and watching footage, especially in the digital era that we live in, you're a fool.
Yeah.
Why are you going to
YouTube.
YouTube.
Exactly.
Thank you. Hey, where do you YouTube. Think I found your matches? Did you even know you had matches on YouTube? That's how I found your matches.
Absolutely. And I made sure that I was able to link those matches to my website, too, for other people to see.
There you go.
Well, and we're going to get to your opponent for this weekend in just a couple minutes. He's been so gracious to be on hold with us all this time. Please do not hang up.
You can let him wait a little longer, man. Make him sweat. Make him sweat under that mask of his.
I believe he said he felt like, what was it? You were trying to get in his head, but you can't get in his head. So what tactics are you employing that he's talking about getting into his head?
So, Jack, I think Gigantor is, I think he's been working himself into a shoot because he knows that the Mad One is a bit unhinged. He knows I bring a different kind of entertainment to the table. And he also knows I'm quite versed in the horror movies, as you can't tell just by, you know, everything about me.
No, Rob Zombie-ish.
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, very much. Oh, yeah.
He little cut, devil's rejects.
He cut. Oh, man. Hey, Sid Haig. Hey, we named one of my twin daughters after Sid Haig, man. So he's
that
right
is
there.
Freaking awesome.
A clap for that.
Little Sydney. He cuts this promo on me talking about, hey, I know you like horror movies. I know you probably think you're in one, like you're Jason or Michael. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, because you know you're talking about, you know, thinking outside the box. What's everybody immediately go to whenever they talk about like a horror movie? You go to those big, great ones, the ones that everybody's seen. You talk about your Friday the 13th, your Halloweens, your Freddy Kruegers. Everybody's seen that shit. And that's what I think he's anticipating out of me. And I'll be the first to say right now, hey, Gigantor, I hope you're listening right now. You're studying the wrong shit, son.
Maybe
there's some other
to
stuff
watch.
You need to be watching.
Maybe you should be watching some of your matches on YouTube.
Oh
my.
That's a hard ass. That's a hard ass lyric, but that's a fact, Jack.
Oh man.
Whether you realize or not, you just quoted Gwar. That's in one of their songs. That's a hard ass lyric.
Yes.
Oh, son of
yeah.
a God. I knew these two would hit it off. I want to play.
Why don't you just admit it? You're a dirty, rotten son of a
bitch.
Bitch.
So bitch.
I want to play a little
Some
bit of
bitch.
One of Finn's theme songs from actually in the, around the time that he was training me. This is what he was using as the theme song. What was better than that, Max, is his sound guy had somehow clipped in Rob Zombie's Call of the Zombie where for fear that the devil would chop off their head. So that opened it, and then it went into that. And I'm like, we had children screaming. I'm like, why do you have to be so evil?
Well, hey,
I love it.
On the upside, when I was feeling nice to the crowd, I would only play Gwar and come out to Ragnarok. So
yes,
because
Ragnarok,
it says
Ragnarok and roll.
Because the opening line is to die for a chance to sin.
Oh, that's creative. I like that.
Katie, you've been quiet.
Man.
You've been sitting over there pretty. Would you like to say anything to Mr. Max?
I'm good.
She doesn't want to talk to me. It's okay. You're not the only one, sweetie.
Well, I guess we shouldn't let the man sweat anymore. But before I give him the platform, Max, talk to us about your upcoming match with El Gigantor.
Me and El Gigantor will be main eventing the Slugfest at the Snake Pit July 30th in Morrisdale, Pennsylvania. And I swear, he thought he had Cody Hawk's number, which he did. He's going to have to do some studying to figure out what my number is, and it might just be three of them. Side by side by side, little 666.
God, you know,
that was hokey, wasn't
six,
it?
Six.
That was really hokey, wasn't it?
You know, Max, you sound like
man,
you might be
ugly.
A friend
that
of this.
Dumb.
You sound like you might be a friend of this guy, and then we'll go to El Gigantor.
A B C D E F G H I J K L M N O P W R Slam on the Grave Show Network on Nickelodeon. On the Oscars, on the Grammys, you are listening to the Warlord of Weird, Sin Bodhi, over and under, over and out, Roger Dodger, look both ways before you look across the street and skate on thin ice while running with scissors.
Peace. Oh, man.
Oh,
that is just brilliant personified.
Yeah. That's cool.
All right. Well, he is going to be your biggest challenge yet, I guess we could say, Max. I know you've had some other ones, but in order to be the king of the asylum, per se, you must defeat the following man. He is rejoining us here on Wrestling Authority Radio. He is your reigning and defending Asylum Wrestling heavyweight champion, El Gigantor.
Yay!
Woo. I appreciate it here.
Yay!
Somebody has some respect for me around here. This has been the Max Morrison show, but it's all good.
Yay!
Of course it's the Max Morrison show. They booked me on here to be here, kid.
Yeah.
You know, Max, you say I'm studying the wrong thing. I'm not studying Michael Myers. I'm not studying Freddy Krueger. I'm studying you. I've been watching you since I first entered wrestling. I want to beat the best. You are one of the best. You've been one of my targets since day one. This match has been a long time coming, and I'm ready.
I sure hope you're ready. I really do. I really do, man. And just so you're sure, man, I hope you've got AC for the inside of that mask, because when you're sucking wind while we're wrestling outside after I've done hit you with every headbutt that I've got inside my body, you're going to need to cool off a little bit while I'm running off doing partying with your belt.
Ooh. Big words coming from the challenger, Mad Max Morrison, to El Gigantor, your Asylum Wrestling heavyweight champion. It is going to go down this weekend, Morrisdale, Pennsylvania, Asylum Wrestling Snake Pit Slugfest. You got to be there live. And one of these gentlemen, or maybe Mr. Shea, will send me footage and send footage of this match along with Katie. And we are going to see who the tougher man is.
I want to see this match. I'm not going
to
lie. I want to see this match, guys.
I know
Max there knows my Facebook, so he can send it to me if nobody else can.
I am not a man to make predictions, but just from experience alone, it obviously goes to Mad Max Morrison. However, El Gigantor is given credit for overcoming a veteran of the industry in Cody Hawk. Again, as I said earlier, he's the man responsible for giving us our interim AEW World Heavyweight Champion, Jon Moxley. So El Gigantor got a win over Cody Hawk. Was that win a fluke? We're going to find out, because if he can defeat Mad Max here, then he will probably have a bigger challenger awaiting him on the other side. I give the experience factor to Mad Max Morrison. But in a level of competing, if this man, El Gigantor, has been able to defeat the likes of Cody Hawk, he may be able to defeat Mad Morrison. How are you, the listeners here, going to find out? How are you, the wrestling fans, going to find out? Well, you're going to need to get your tickets and be in attendance. Morrisdale, Pennsylvania, Snake Pit Slugfest from Asylum Wrestling. El Gigantor, any final words to our main guest here this evening that you will be facing this weekend?
No, I think I've said all I had to say. I'm just looking forward to it. I'm sure the fans are too. This is going to be a war, but I'm ready to come out on top, and that's the mindset I have.
Are you willing to do whatever it takes, though?
Yeah.
We will have to think about that one. You don't sound so sure. Because if you're willing to do whatever it takes, you realize that's a huge commitment. You've got to be committed to do whatever it takes to win.
Well, I know, because I've been committed.
Are you willing to do that?
I'm just as willing as you are.
Are we having the same conversation here? Because I feel like I just left the bar with a sweetie around my arm or something with that kind of response.
Oh, well, El Gigantor, I want to wish you luck on your upcoming title defense. Hopefully, the next time we will talk to you, which should be soon, you will still be the reigning and defending Asylum Wrestling heavyweight champion. I'd like to talk to you again at some point. I'd like to thank you for calling in this night to talk to us and talk about Asylum Wrestling. Good luck on your title defense, and we will talk to you again soon. And Mad Max, we're going to go back to you now. And, you know, so we know who's trained you. We know kind of your style. Talk to us about this. I don't like using the word character, but I'm going to use it in this essence because I don't like using the word gimmick, because gimmick is a broader term. It can mean so many things, and character is more pinpointed to what we're talking about.
Sure. Well, I've always been batshit nuts. That's really what it comes down to at the end of the day. I was kind of raised batshit nuts.
Me too. That's why I want my first tattoo to be certified crazy. Everybody thinks I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I want my first tattoo to say certified crazy.
Do it. You got one life to live, man.
That's why I've got painted flesh all over me.
Yes. My last tattoo I got was a cover of. You'll love this. It's Sweetums, the big monster from the Muppets, and he's done up as Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw 2.
Nice. Well, you'll like this, then. My last tattoo was the last Guar album cover.
Oh, the Blood of Gods?
Yep, I got the Blood of Gods tattooed inside on my bicep.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet. Back to the conversation though. As far as like character and things like that, I pretty much got nuts after I started playing, like really playing music, like playing in bands and stuff. You know, because I think it was probably like my early 20s once I started playing out in bars and getting out around all these other weirdos and stuff. I noticed there was a lot of weirdos just like me, and there was a lot of weirdos that were way weirder than me. So of course, being exposed to folks like that, and then as time would evolve, you know, just the brain would decay and, you know, delusions would begin happening. And over time, once I got into wrestling, I met even more weirdos. And, it's like I feel like I'm a product of my environment, really. And the fact that I'm such a cinephile and I love just entertainment in general and just I love stories and storytelling and things of that nature, man, I get a lot of my shit from watching and analyzing like just like cinema and TV and like art and just all kinds of just I get the last place I get inspiration from is wrestling. Like I get my ring work from wrestling, but everything else comes from everywhere else.
Yes.
I hear you. You know how I taught myself how to spew green mist? When I was training, I was watching Animal Planet, and I was like, huh, some snakes spit venom in people's eyes. I'm like, I can do that.
There, it was like I had a couple shows last weekend, and I was working for Voltage out in Martinsburg, West Virginia, and I've been doing face paint for a while. I started tagging with my buddy River. We do this tag team called the Static Age. Yep, throwback to the Misfits. And
there you
we
go.
Do face paint. I had I do a little different, man. It's like I'll shut my eyes and put my paint on, so that's why it looks all fucked up because I'm not looking.
That's the first time I've heard a woman say, "If I make a fuck up, it's because I'm looking." Me, I'm sitting there like putting on eyeliner and stuff. I'm like, yeah, let's put this cool little twist on it.
Yeah, but I'm sure you've seen and heard that Mudvayne came back.
Yeah. We love Mudvayne. They're from Peoria, yes, which is like an hour from us.
Love fucking Mudvayne. Love LD50 for the longest time. So I saw their Grand Rapids show from like a week ago. So last Friday, my paint was totally inspired by Chad with the black lines. I put the blood paint in the middle of my forehead, painted my whole head silver. It was fucking awesome.
That's some good stuff, man. Yeah, oh, man. You know what me and one of my pals call them that we talk about music all the time? We call them Berber Dang. Because of that one song, Berber Dang, Berber Dang.
Oh, yeah.
The bass song, Berber Dang.
I think he means this one. Hold on, I think I've got it in my studio here.
Yes. Nope, next track. Next track.
Now, could y'all do that again?
Berber,
man,
dang,
you just cock-blocked me, man, because I was headbanging over here. That shit was good.
Did they play that? Not me. If they come to Illinois and they're playing that song, I'm down.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, of course you guys noticed on the intro track, they had that little sample from Total Recall on there. It's like, Wade, open your mind.
Have you ever had the privilege of meeting or working with Madman Pondo?
No, I have not.
Oh, you're missing out, boy. He's getting up there in years.
He's a cool cat, though.
Oh my God, the first time he was on here, poor Katie. And I hope this grabs her attention.
Yep.
Pondo tells us a story about being at like some juggalo gathering at a bar or some kind of thing.
Yeah.
And there's a drummer that's already naked. The other guy that's the lead singer comes out and some kind of something happens. And there's pink pubes and a guy blowing another guy while he's drumming. And Jesus Christ, I was like, only Pondo could tell this story. Like,
yeah, right.
It's Madman Pondo. It has to be true.
Well, you know,
man,
you're talking
the
about
coordination
a guy
that, to have to.
You're talking about a guy who used to
lot.
Work Necro Butcher on the regular, so.
That's got to take a lot of coordination to be getting blown and drumming at the same time. I mean, I'd be worried about getting kneed in the face, really, because especially if you got double pedal.
Yeah, drummer's legs are moving. If you got that double kick drum going, there's no telling what's going to hit you. See, no, I'm a lead guitarist, so all I got to do is pull the strap up a little bit, and as long as I stay focused on the guitar, I'll be all right.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you take a glance and then walk to the other side of the stage.
I've been in some bands where security hasn't been as good as I've liked, and I've been like grabbed on stage. So,
oh,
and I always need to wonder so I can go out into the crowd.
Man, and another day and age. I think it was back when you could get away with some of these boyish shenanigans without, you know, having the internet called on you and stuff. We used to play the waiting. We were all a bunch of asshats and morons back in my old metal scene in Tidewater back in Virginia when I was there. And I was playing this one band, and I swear to God, we played the waiting game all the time. Whoever was up on stage, you just drop your zipper, pull your sack out, and just wait for him to look. Be like, yo! As soon as he did, watch him break on stage.
Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, it's really funny. Wrestlers and musicians aren't that different. We really are. We really are.
It's a lateral move, I swear.
Yeah. the crowds are always great, you know. And I've been fortunate enough to play music in front of, I should say wrestle in front of bigger crowds than I've actually played music in front of. And I got to wrestle at Comic-Con, things like that. And boy, man, when you get thousands of people going nuts for your stuff, wow, there's nothing like that feeling.
Dude, you are not lying. I know in my music career, I was fortunate to be able to open up for a bunch of bands that I love, too. Like, some of the bands that I got to open up for was, I've opened up for Diecast, I've opened up for Suffocation, I remember opening up for Stuck Mojo, which most people
nice.
Wanted to go play with Fozzy.
Yeah, Stuck Mojo.
I've opened up, my favorite one is I got to open up for Green Jello back in like 2009.
Oh, dude, I got a story about Green Jello for you. We'll talk about that offline. I worked with them on a show too. I was part of the opening act, and then they wanted to put me in their show.
I love Jello so much, man.
There's some cool.
That was actually the first music video I watched on MTV when I was a kid was the Three Little Pigs one back in like 1992.
Yep. I used to sing that on stage. That was like the one song the band let me sing, Three Little Pigs.
That's my rib when I go into bars. It's like they'll have that touch tunes gimmick, where you can play music from your phone on the jukebox. I'll go into like a fancy establishment that's got this thing, and I'll either blast like some really shitty Slayer or Green Jello and just watch people squirm and look confused.
We have a DJ locally here. I couldn't believe it. I went to this bar in this small ass town I live in, and I get in there and the guy just starts playing Girlfriend's Girlfriend, and I'm like, are you kidding me? And like one of my friends sitting next to me is like, did you get him to play this? I'm like, no, he just played this out of nowhere.
I would have popped so hard, man. I'm such a typo, Mark. It ain't even funny. John Kelly, hands down, one of the best drummers on the face of the planet, man.
Oh, and their guitar tone, amazing. And oh, man, Steele. Peter Steele was a giant on stage. That guy was so big and so menacing and goth-looking in his voice, so deep. It was like all those guys were made to play together.
Shit, man. Peter Steele was made to be on Jerry Springer.
Yeah. That was, who was on the episode with him on that one? Was it Kiss? I think it was. It was either Kiss or Noir was on an episode with him. Where he was talking about
his I think it was Guar.
Was it Guar?
I think it was Guar because I think there was a bunch of prostitutes on stage too.
Yeah, and they had El Duce was on that one.
Oh, from the Mentors.
Yeah, El Duce was on there. That crazy fucker.
That dude is wild, man.
Yeah, kind of a little extreme for me. Well, he's passed now, but he was a little extreme for me.
I'm kind of popping right now because I've got a Mentors album on my phone. So if that says anything, I don't know.
Oh man.
If the man you're facing is anything like El Duce, you might be in for a hard match, Max.
I'll tell you what, because I know I talk a lot of shit on El Gigantor. I'm gonna go ahead and give the kid his props, man, because he's doing it the right way. He's got good trainers behind him. The kid's got a promising future. You know, he took out Cody Hawk, who's been around for a long time, you know? So obviously, he's got a couple. So obviously, he's got a couple tricks up his sleeve. So despite all my shit talking, I've got to watch out for him just as well as he's got to watch out for me.
Absolutely. And hopefully that POS Rob Myers doesn't get involved.
I hope not, man. One more bump out of him and he might shatter like glass.
Well, he's injured. I once wrestled Bob Orton for a title down south, and we were talking earlier today. He said, my back's injured. So I'm like, so what are we going to do this match? I'm working his back. That's pretty much what my offense was in that match. I attacked his back.
Man.
That was some good stuff. That's the way you do it, though. All right. Well, Max, hopefully you overcome El Gigantor. You become the new Asylum Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. But talk to us about some of your other bookings that are coming up real quick.
All right, certainly. So, what is it? Next week, I'm going to Kinston, North Carolina for Extreme Shock. They have this annual event. It's to remember this young kid had a medical ailment. He's not here with us anymore. So there's a big rumble for him. And lots of great talent on there. You got the TIM. You got the Airtime Rockers. You got the Ugly Ducklings. Bunch of great Carolina talents over there. After that, I'm going back to Altoona, Pennsylvania with my tag team partner in Static Age. We're wrestling the Apex at Eclipse. And then at the end of the month, August 27th, I will be on hand at the Fairfax Comic-Con at the Dulles Expo, where I will be joined alongside with some of the guys from – here, let me pull this up real quick. Man, I can give you the rundown because we have – the original Boba Fett from Empire Strikes Back is going to be there.
Nice.
Wow.
You got the guy that Cary Jones, I think his name is. He played Black Kurstan in Book of Boba Fett.
Yep. Yep.
Nice.
Yep. And and one of the guys from Star Wars Magazine. So that's going to be a good time. I know I've worked for that company before doing cons back in the day, man, so I know it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, Comic-Cons are always a blast. For me, they were always like four-day events, and, you know, we wrestle six matches, you know, so you really got to be a workhorse to do a Comic-Con. They depend on you.
This will be a one-day con. This one won't be too bad, so... Everybody that's listening, you're going to be in the Fairfax area, going to be around Dulles. Go ahead and get your passes now. You can get them at fairfaxcomiccon.com. I've got info on my Facebook as well. Speaking of which, you can find everything you need to about me at www.madmaxmorrison.com. There's literally, I got matches. You can reach me. You can book me there. On top of that, I've got my merch shop. So go in there, get you a Max t-shirt. We got some cool designs in there. You got stuff for me. You got stuff for the Static Age. And, lots of cool stuff.
Buy his merch.
Buy the shirt.
Buy his merch.
Oh, man, what was it? I worked my match. I think it was Saturday night. After I retained my UCW Heavyweight Championship, on my way down the crowd, I yelled at everybody. I said, make sure you see me at my table and buy some shit after I come back out.
That's the way to do it.
You got to promote yourself, man. You got to promote yourself.
You got
to. That's how you do it.
Absolutely.
Buy my merch. Buy my merch.
Like I said, Kevin, man,
around that just says that on repeat.
There you go. You know, I got that line actually from Kevin Nash. If you remember the NWO shirts, at the end of their first commercial, you used to hear Kevin Nash in a very high-pitched voice go, "Buy the shirt."
No, was that when he was all dressed up like Arn Anderson?
No. He actually, they were wearing the old NWO shirt. It was black and white. And they were, it was an advertisement for their shirts. And just the last line was him screaming, "Buy the shirt."
Classic Kevin Nash. All right. Well, Max, I want to thank you for your time tonight. And you are always welcome back here. I want to thank the stars of Asylum Wrestling, El Gigantor and the POS, Rob Myers, and Mr. Eric Shea for calling in. Good luck to you guys this weekend with your big event, and feel free to give us an update, and we definitely want to see that match. And, folks, we will be back here next Thursday night on the Evolution Radio Network with another edition of Rampage Rants Thursday Night Turmoil. It's our review show. There's a lot that we haven't reviewed, and we're going to be playing catch-up next week. And, yes, we've got some big shows coming back to Wrestling Authority Radio every other Thursday night right here on the Evolution Radio Network. More interviews and just great talent like Max Morrison here. Anything else anybody else wants to say?
Well, all I got to say is, Max, you got to get me that match. I want to see that match from this weekend because I can't make it to Pennsylvania, unfortunately.
Buy his merch.
I'm gonna do what I can to get it to you, brother.
All right.
Bye, his merch.
Well,
bye, his merch.
I appreciate you guys having me on too, man. This has been fun.
Not a problem. All right. Well, I am Sadistic Sean David, along with my co-host here,
the Saltless Slither, Sin.
And the reason why this show will never be a bag of dicks ever. Chaotic Katie.
Katie, what time is it?
Time is it? Since you don't have to go home, but you sure as hell can't stay here. Get the hell out, turn off the lights, take your glasses back to the bar, and go.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week for Rampage Rants Thursday Night Turmoil.
Catch you next week.